again in verse 1.
And it's the book of the generations. I'm just gonna abbreviate some of this stuff. Book of generations. And it says the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So here it is giving this genealogy down through for Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 5. This is the first time the book of the generations was used in the Bible, and it was used showing the lineage from the first Adam. This is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them, and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. So that book of generations there, and then you come up here, and the second Adam, it's given the genealogy of the second Adam, the book of the generations. So what I want to look at is the first Adam. In Genesis, I think it's 127, 128, I'm not sure. Look at Genesis 1. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So here he gives the first Adam, in Genesis 1:28, dominion over the earth. And then at the fall, it led to him losing that dominion. So he gave Adam dominion over the entire earth. And the fall, he lost that dominion. And now we know the devil is the little g god of this world. So what did the devil want? Isaiah 14. He wanted to set his throne above the Most High. He wanted to be like God. So think about what be like God means. You can't, in the devil's economy of thought, think about this. You can't be like God and be equal with him. If he has to be like God, he'd have to be above him, because God's above everything. So the devil didn't actually want to just pull up and be even. He wanted to be above him. And God wasn't going to have that. It's not possible, because there's only one God, a three-part God. Adam was made in the image of God. He was created in the image of God. So the cleanest thing outside of God, as far as a human being goes, our being goes, the created being goes, was Adam. The devil already fell. He had pride. He had problems and pride. And so the devil, in his pride, remember what carnality is in 1 Corinthians? It's envy, strife, and division. So he envied Adam. because Adam was given dominion over a place. I don't want to get into that gap stuff tonight. I care less. You can have a gap if you want. You don't have to have a gap. I gap my plugs about 28,000, but the other stuff I don't get too concerned about. But, some of them go like 35, 50, I don't know, depends what it is. So don't gap all your plugs at 28,000. The preacher like points, well, that just depends. That just depends. But my point is, the devil wanted to be like God. He couldn't dethrone capital G-O-D, God. So he thought the next best thing was to dethrone Adam, because Adam was given dominion. So Adam, being like God and walking with God and having a close relationship with God, the devil thought, well, the easiest way for me to get to Adam is through Eve. Now, I don't think he would have let up. If Eve would have said, no, we're not eating the fruit, I'm not eating that fruit, I'm going to stick with Adam, I'm going to stick with the Word, I don't think the devil would have let up. But he went and attacked Eve through the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. She ate the fruit, gave it to Adam, he ate the fruit. The first Adam had one thing he could not do. That's eat of the fruit of the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The second Adam had one thing that he must do, and that's go to Calvary and pay the sin debt of the world. The first Adam failed, the second Adam was obedient. The first Adam was disobedient, the second Adam was completely obedient. Think about this. The first Adam died because he couldn't live without his bride. The second Adam died because his bride couldn't live without him. Without the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, he could have no living bride. So the similarities between the first and the second Adam are more than just calling them Adams, kings, and dominion, talking about dominion. The first Adam did not want to live without his bride, and the second Adam was willing to die to get a living bride. So the similarities are also in opposition with each other, because one died because he didn't want to lose his bride, and the other one died to get his bride. Remember, Eve come out of Adam a rib. I believe it's the fifth rib. I believe you get into arguments about the rib. Talk about where they speared Jesus Christ and where he was opened up to get his wife. I believe it's probably the fifth rib on Adam. Probably the same place he speared, the Lord Jesus Christ was speared, is probably where God took Eve from out of Adam. But either way, they both opened their side to get a bride. And like I say, the devil defeated the first Adam by getting him to disobey God. And that's what he was trying to do in Mark chapter 4 with the Lord. Because he knew that dominion was going to be going back. Because the first Adam lost dominion. The second Adam, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, took the sin debt and the curse of the earth so he could have a dominion. The first Adam was given dominion and lost it. The second Adam earned it back. Had to be a price paid to get that back. Not just a price, the ultimate price. Becomes sin for us. So, you say, well, how's the devil the god of this world right now? Because God's outside of time. God doesn't think like we think. And the devil's time's running short. He's going to let the devil. Man, I can't wait till the devil's cast in a lake of fire. Every time I start talking about the way God uses the devil and the things the devil's allowed to do, it just makes me want to scream. But he uses the devil as a chastening tool. And he allows the devil to do things as a chastening tool. Every time the devil does something, he thinks he has a victory, God's really getting a victory somewhere else where the devil doesn't understand it. And the devil's smarter than we are, so we don't understand it either most of the time. It doesn't make sense to us because we think carnally most of the time when it comes to that stuff. But the devil is, he's Hades bound. He's Hades bent on doing something, right? He's bent on having dominion over the world. Well, guess what? He's not even going to get a shot at Christ's bride. He got a chance at the first Adam's bride. He's not getting a shot at us because we're leaving. We're saved, we're sealed, we're getting out of here. Now, I don't know how you could check your salvation back in to stay through the tribulation. I think people want to sometimes. It looks like it, but we're getting out of here. He's not even going to have an opportunity. He already went to the husband and tried to trip him up, and he wasn't able to do it. And we're in Christ, so he can't get to us as far as eternal salvation goes. We're getting out of here. But the devil's going to have a time on this earth where he, as a trinity, will exist on this earth without any constraint of God. God's just going to let him do his thing for a while. But, you know, in the, Israel's going to have to put up with, they're going to have to, true Israel, the remnant, they're going to have to bear, go through, suffer some things like they've never had to suffer before, because the only opportunity they will have will be to head for the hills and trust God. That's it. There won't be, if we get right now, will you come save us out of here? There won't be, that time's over. Right now, they're going to have to go through this chasing and this period and the tribulation. And he will save a remnant out of there. But the devil's thinking, I'm going to wipe out. He thinks he's going to wipe Israel completely out, so God will be a liar. And not only that, he's got a lot of churches, probably over half the churches, saying right now that he already wiped Israel out and God's a liar. Because God's done with Israel. God's not done with Israel. How do I know? Well, because of this. This right here. The first Adam lost the dominion over this earth. The second Adam bought it back. And he will, Jesus Christ, will rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. Now, also, because of the crown of thorns he took, because of the blood that was shed on Calvary, because of what he went through, and it's funny because there's something that Trump said when he was talking about the Pope that he was 100% right on, but he didn't realize it. You know, broke clocks right twice a day, right? He said that the Pope was a good man and really loved the world. Well, that's true. The Bible says love not the world. He did really love the world. He didn't really love people or God, or he'd give them the truth, but he loved the world. That's a true statement. So, for God so loved the world, not in a worldly way, but in a sacrificial way, that he gave so he purchased that dominion back, and it will happen. I chased a rabbit and lost my trail here, but anyway, Jesus Christ, the second Adam, will rule and reign for 1,000 years. And when he rules, when the devil's on this earth for in a Trinity form, he'll have his Trinity power here, the full-blown Antichrist power here, and he won't have any opposition from God. He'll just have people that are putting faith in and works in and trusting the Lord to get saved against him. That's all the devil's going to have against him is people's faith in Jesus Christ and the Old Testament. Believe it or not, their Old Testament faith plus Jesus Christ is what's going to get those people to head out and trust God. Because who comes back? Moses and Elijah. So here they are trapped in the world. They're going to identify the world as Egypt and say the only way we're going to get out of this is the same way Moses got out, trusting God. And the only way we're going to take care of this without get taken care of without taking the mark and worshiping the beast is like Elijah did. We're just going to head, and God's going to take care of our needs. Bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. At the end of that, Jesus Christ will rule and reign for 1,000 years without the devil's influence. The only opposition the Lord will have for 1,000 years is man's own nature. Because man won't be regenerated. The world will be having, the babies will still be born. They'll be still born with an old Adamic nature. So, the only opposition the devil will have for that last 3.5 years especially, but in that time of Jacob's troubles, will be the faith of men that follow God and put the works in to follow God. The only opposition the Lord Jesus Christ will have on this earth will be man's sin nature and their free will. Remember, he rules with a rod of iron. So there are people that don't like it. As a matter of fact, when the devil's loose for a season, he's able to get people to turn against the Lord, turn against Jerusalem, and try to destroy God's holy city and his people. But that's what I wanted to talk about tonight, was those two kingdoms. When he's offering Israel, remember, his ministry in Matthew was primarily to Israel. And he was offering them a kingdom. They rejected it. So since they rejected it and said, crucify him, we have no king but Caesar, his blood be upon us and upon our children, then the tribulation was set in stone. That has to happen now. So at the end of that tribulation, because of what happened on Calvary, because of the debt that was paid for the sin-cursed earth and sin-cursed man, there will be a new kingdom. And it's just interesting how those two Adams line up, one disobedient to God and one completely obedient to the Father. So that's all I really wanted to talk about tonight. It's just to reiterate that Matthew's showing Jesus Christ primarily as king. And in Genesis chapter 3, Adam lost a kingdom. In Matthew 27:28, Jesus Christ bought it back, brother. Well, we got to be careful with that. But yeah, he was the anointed cherub that covereth. I believe, according to this book right here, there's a difference between a cherub and a regular angel. And when he fell, he took some of the, we see where some of the angels come with him later. There's a war in heaven later in Revelation. Take some with him. But he had, it appears he had the second highest position in the universe anyway. Because he was over the mercy seat. He was over. He was the cherub above cherubs. And then he fell. So yeah, he was a created being, but so was Adam, and he fell. So that's the reason God had to come in the flesh, because he couldn't trust any of his created beings, and none of his created beings could pay that debt. So Jesus Christ came as a created flesh, but as all God, eternal God, both directions, eternity past and present and future, eternity future. That's where people say, well, Jesus Christ was just a man. No, he wasn't. Well, Jesus, how could Jesus Christ be God? Well, he was all God and he was all man. Matthew shows him as king. John shows him as all God. Luke shows him as man, son of man. That's why the lineage is through Mary and Luke, which also goes back to David, by the way. So any way you look at it, he was connected to King David, worthy of that throne. So yeah, he... And see, there's another thing against Calvinism. If God was a Calvinist, which he's not, obviously, then Satan wouldn't have fell. Lucifer wouldn't have fell. Because God would have just made him and not give him free will. Apparently, he had free will. It wasn't God's will for him to sin again. Calvinism puts sin on God. I'm serious. I mean, that's scary. Because that says God's responsible for everything that man does wrong. If he picks and chooses everything, and he's in control of everything. But we know that's not true. We can't take it even half to that extreme. Or to half of that extreme. But yeah, he was a created being. And think about it. What did he want him to do? He wanted him. The King James Bible calls Lucifer him. He calls him Lucifer one time, light bearer. After he falls, he's not called Lucifer anymore. Because he was up there. What was he doing? He was reflecting the light of God. And then he falls, and he no longer does that. So God created him and created the angels. In my opinion, by looking at Revelation, and we're created for his pleasure, he done that to have somebody to fellowship with and somebody to worship him. Well, Satan falls. If you just forget time, because God's outside of time and not controlled by it, we know the angels fall and have fallen. Whatever you want to look at, you look at Revelation, we know God's already past Revelation, because he already told what's going to happen. So he's outside of where we are in time. So he knows all the angels that are going to fall and all that are going to be kicked out of heaven and all that battle and everything. So instead of making things robots or programming things to where they were made to worship him, he knows he's worthy of worship. So he made these beings with free will. And then they started, through their pride, bailing out on him. So what's he do now? Then he comes to the earth in the form of man, spends his blood to pay our sin debt and to take the curse off this earth eventually. And he still has people that choose to worship him now. You know, the people who choose to worship him now are people that never worshiped him before. The Gentiles didn't look for God. The Gentiles were just doing all the wicked stuff they could. And Israel was his people. And then the Gentiles turned to Christ. And when Paul started revealing these things to the Jews and the Gentiles about being one body and both being in Christ, no Jew or Gentile, but sons of God now. Now he has what he wanted initially. He has people that choose to worship him. The only problem is we don't always choose to worship him. But fortunately, he's going to fix that. But we can't wrap our mind all the way around God because he's just so infinite. We're so finite with our thinking. But we know that he gave Lucifer free will. And he also gives man free will whether they trust Christ or not. And then after that, he lets you keep your free will whether you serve or not. If he didn't do that, what would the judgment seat of Christ be for? Everybody get the same thing. Everybody get a trophy, right? Because everybody be perfect and sinless. But that's not the way it goes. He's worthy of worship, and that's the reason he allows people to have free will. If he just said, I'm saving you and you can never sin again, that wouldn't be showing his worthiness. That would be showing his control. But what he wants you to do and what wants you and I to do is control ourselves through the Spirit and fall down and worship him, whether it's physically or spiritually, to be at his feet worshiping him because he's worthy. Brother? To me, it looks like the mark of the beast is going to start about halfway through. Well, I'm not sure. Here we're looking at that rapture, too. So is that halfway through with Elijah and Moses, or is that toward the end? See, I don't know. But yeah, there's a possibility that that's right before the devil sends the water out to try to destroy Israel, which is hard to put this stuff on a timeline. And he's telling them, head out, and don't look back, which Lot and his wife is a type of that. If those people look back, they're not going to get away. I mean, they're going to have to focus on Jesus Christ and stay determined. And what he'll do, what it says here, and it'll probably be an earthquake, who knows, but he'll open the ground up, and he'll drink that water up to save them. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard to pin that stuff down. Yeah. I mean, there's a possibility at halfway through when Moses and Elijah are killed, what looks like halfway to me, and they are raised from the dead, and then they're raptured out. Maybe there's a rapture right there where some of the folks that didn't worship the false prophet, worship in the first 3.5 years of Daniel's trouble or Jacob's troubles, maybe they get out then. And then maybe the people that are answering in their heart the message of Moses and Elijah in the first half, maybe those are the ones there that aren't raptured out, but they're deciding, hey, this ain't right. We can't take that mark. See, I don't know. I don't know. And what really messes us up is we've got so many people that tell you they know. And some of this stuff you can't know. So you got people going, this is where this happens, this is where that happens. When you look at the Bible, you're like, there's a lot of supposition read into this stuff. So you got to try to weed that out. So we've got a lot of preconceived ideas from a lot of different preachers and different, quote-unquote, prophets, or what do you want to call them? Prophecy preachers. Yeah, prophets, quote unquote. So we've got all these preconceived ideas, but we got to look at the book and see what it says. Some of these things I don't think we can figure out. Some of them we might not, like the old preacher say, you might not know what it is, but you know what it ain't. People are not getting raptured out of there at the first of the tribulation, obviously. Because why would they? They're in a lull to a sense of peace. So it makes more sense that halfway through, when Moses and Elijah are killed and resurrected, then some people are like waking up, maybe leaving with them. Maybe some of the folks at the end are getting raptured out. Maybe Moses and Elijah are the only ones raptured out in the middle. I don't know. But there is, according to this book, a tribulation rapture. And look what it says. It talks about Jerusalem. Pray it's not on the Sabbath. Why would he tell the church that? Why would he tell the church that? It has nothing to do with the church. The fig tree has nothing to do with the church. Those 10 virgins, you know, the olive, the oil and all that stuff. He's talking to Israel. I mean, I'm a half point Calvinist, all right? I'm not Calvinist at all. But I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist either. He's not going to call us and say, well, you hope you don't rapture us out on the Sabbath. Or pray your flight's not on the Sabbath. I mean, I'm praying our flight, if it, the Sabbath will work for me. Amen? It'll work on Sunday morning, whatever. He killed the bride. She must die because of that, and then God paid that price. But God flipped it around on him. Yeah. Because they died spiritually when they ate the fruit. That was a small victory for the devil. In his mind, it was a large one. But then God made a sacrifice and put a covering on them, which is what Jesus Christ did for us. He made the sacrifice, and the covering we have is his robe of righteousness. So yeah, we're getting out of here. We don't have to worry about that. Yeah. That makes my head want to explode when we get into that stuff, because I don't know. We got so many different people think different things about whether it's the Holy Spirit or whether it's, you know, the man of sin and then he gets killed, all other stuff. I don't know. Some of this stuff's just above my pay grade. I'll be honest with you. I don't understand all of it. Sister. I think any married man in here can tell you why she wasn't sugar. No. It wasn't very sweet of her to turn around on God. No. Well, there's something to think about. And like I say, I'm not giving you Bible doctrine or anything, but there's something to think about. This is what I think about this stuff. I think goofy stuff. She was turned into a pillar of salt. I believe the devil's going to take a big drink out of the sea and try to spit that out to get Israel. And what's going to happen to those people? If they turn back, the salt water's going to get them. So there may be a connection there, maybe not. But if they keep going the direction God's telling them to go toward God and away from the devil, he's going to open that ground up, drink that water up. So I don't think everybody that's running from the devil's going to get away. But I think the majority of them probably will, because of that story right there. I think all those stories are in there for a purpose. They're all talking to Israel, but we can look at that and try to put pieces together, but don't try too hard, because it just kind of makes sense. We know the devil's going to be able to spew water out and try to destroy Israel, and it'll be a sea that he drinks up and spits out. Salt, I don't know. I don't know. But there's probably a connection there that we get to heaven and we'll go, wow, that's even neater than I thought. Sister? Yeah, matter of fact, Adam was kicked out of the garden because he wasn't worthy to be in there anymore. But what happens when Christ comes back for the 1,000-year reign, he regenerates the earth to be like the original garden. So when it talks about the child playing over the hole of the asp and the animals getting along and people, the lion eating straw like an ox and stuff like that, that's the way it was in the garden. Man and beasts didn't have this problem in the garden where, a roaring lion was going to hunt you down. But think of the symbology there. A lion got Eve. But after the flood, definitely there was a problem. And there was a change with the animals. So the sin-cursed earth keeps getting worse and worse. But he's been ruling the things of this world directly and indirectly since. That's why he'll be bound and Christ will rule. Because the devil's had his thousands of years to try to take over everything. But there's still people, there's still always a remnant of people that don't follow him. Well, Christ is going to have perfect rule without the devil. And there'll still be people that won't follow him. But at the end, he wipes all that out, starts over again, new heaven and new earth. The devil's cast in a lake of fire forever. Time's the problem. Because it says that happens in Revelation. And we also know from the book of Job that he goes to and fro in the earth and he goes back and talks to God, which was after. I know Job's an older book, but it was after Genesis. So when did he fall? Well, he had access to the earth before, but he hasn't actually, apparently according to the Bible, him and the angels been cast out. When he's cast out, he takes a third of the angels with him. And that's future. So he still has access to God because he's the accuser of the brethren too. So he's still able to go to God and say, hey, I won't pick on any of you ladies, but you see what Paul was doing the other day? See that guy cut him off in traffic? See what Charlie, when the pastor locked the garage too soon? See what he thought? I'm joking. See what the pastor did when the guy cut him off at Walmart and hit him with the chop cart? He's still going and saying, that guy's not perfect. That lady's not perfect. These are your kids. What a bunch. And the little father's like, I don't see what you're talking about. I see the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But yeah, the devil, that whole fall thing was, he fell from his position as the anointed cherub that covereth, but he still has access in Job to the Father. And later, it says there's a war in heaven, and he's cast out and takes some of the angels with him. That's in Revelation, that's future. Well, because one thing, he's not like us human. He's a supernatural being, if you will. But another thing is, that's the reason there has to be a new heaven and new earth. There's going to be a new heaven where sin's never been. So there, obviously, there's a perfect, clean, righteous, holy spot in heaven where God sits. And the devil can't have that, can't touch it, can't be anything to do with that. But heaven has been, in a sense, it's been tainted by disobedience and pride. So there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And like I said, you might not know what it is, but you sometimes know what it ain't. And it ain't that they were all cast out in the past. He lost his position as Lucifer the light bearer, but he still had access in Job, which was after that. So, and he falls in the future. He's kicked out in the future, which he'll have no access after that. But he has access to both places right now. Because in Job it says going to and fro in the earth. And then he's up talking to God about it. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? And then it was on. But well, no man, it says no man has seen God, because we can't in our sinful nature, because we have flesh and blood. We're not angels or cherubs. So, which is another reason the devil will be in a lake of fire burning forever and won't be consumed. Our flesh couldn't do that, but our soul can. There you go. So the whole fall thing is kind of like, depending on who you read, unless you're reading the Bible. The Bible does not lend itself to he's been cast out already forever. That's future. So apparently the devil has access to and from right now. I think he's spending more time down here, actually. Yeah, he's spending a lot of time hanging out in Rome. And they get a glorified body, yeah. So I'm not exactly sure how that works up there either. Paul said, or John said, immediately I was in the Spirit. Paul talked about being in the Spirit, whether in the Spirit, in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Probably because Paul couldn't tell because he probably had a shape of a body and a spirit, but he wasn't his natural body that he was up there in. So, yeah, the new body comes at the rapture, but the folks that are there spiritually are with Christ because they're in Christ spiritually. So they just, and really, like I say, it's hard to put definite parameters on all this stuff, but we know that they don't get a glorified body until in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. So that's, and to me, what other purpose would there be for the dead in Christ to rise first other than a witness against the world and for the cause of Christ? So they're not getting a new body either until then. They're going to come up changed. We get changed in the air. They're going to come up changed. How do we know that? Because it doesn't matter. If you want my opinion, I think cremation is not looking for the return of Christ and the rapture. I don't think people go to hell for it, but I don't think it's the most pleasing thing the Lord would expect. But it doesn't matter if they were cremated, never found and eaten by wild beasts or whatever. That they're not getting that body anyway. They're getting the ones that are dead in Christ are getting a new body. So this body here, if we're going to leave in the rapture, right? Praise the Lord. Okay. So if we go up in the rapture, we're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Doesn't say the rapture happens in a moment in the twinkling of an eye per se, because I still think there's a good possibility when the dead in Christ rise, I think that's the reason Hollywood come up with all this zombie stuff. Because I think there's going to be people walking around and people shoot them and stuff, and they'll go, good day. Tell you about Jesus? Yeah, and they're thinking, well, if I just get enough AR-15 ammo, I can defeat the zombie zombie apocalypse. I'm like, not the one the Lord's planning. Because those people won't be able to be defeated. Because they've been eternally changed. Anyway, we'll wrap it up there before I confuse you any more than I'm confused. But yeah, the two dominions, Adam lost it, Jesus bought it back, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years. Another interesting thing is we don't know exactly how long Adam and Eve were in the garden before they sinned, but we do know they were there less than 130 years because Seth was born, Adam was 130 years old, Genesis 5. And we can take from that, he was born after Cain and Abel, so we can take from that Cain and Abel were probably at least teenagers, because they were working in the ground and stuff. So I'd say maybe they were possibly in the garden 100 years or less, 110 or less, something like that, who knows. But we don't know exactly how long they were in there before they fell. I would imagine it wasn't very long, though, because the devil obviously found out they were there. He probably didn't take him long. He thought, I got to get this stopped. So I don't read in there that he went back to Eve on a different day. He probably got down there as quick as he could. But I don't know. We don't know exactly how long.